Web Talk Radio is brought to you by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. It turns your PC into a sophisticated web radio VCR. It's a great way to enjoy listening to the radio. Record your favorite music and radio shows and stations, and then listen anywhere and whenever you want on any device you want. Get the free trial download at replay-radio.com.
Thank you for joining us from around the world. This is Web Talk at webtalkradio.com, and you're listening to the Internet's future, and we're out buzzing around on the World Wide Web. And I'm Rob Greenlee.
And I'm his little honeybee, Dana Greenlee. Thanks so much for listening. Well, straight ahead on the program this week, who is Web.com and why do they keep getting all those website hosting kudos? Who are the award winners in the search engine landscape? RSS bloggers are ticked at Google.
A fake orchid-like site is really a spam harvester. A sneak peek at the new look for Google. A cool new all-in-one search toolbar. And Web Talk Radio keeps popping up in the news. Thinking of registering a domain name or getting your website hosted? Today we'll be talking to Web.com CEO Will Pimble. Web.com was a recent pick by TopHost.com and got top rating at CNET. Will's going to share his hosting tips and thoughts on the industry.
First and most important quality of a web hosting company or any vendor of any kind is what kind of service am I going to get after they have my money? That's what anybody should be curious about when they're searching for a web hosting company, because the vast majority of people who are using a web hosting service are probably not degreed in computer science.
The search engine landscape is a moving target with the buyouts, you got your mergers. You probably have a favorite one you use every day. I know I do. So does our guest today. It's Chris Sherman, Associate Editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. He's here to talk about what's happening in the industry and to announce the winners of the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards.
In our honorable mention categories, we have one that's probably not familiar to most people in North America. It's called Kelku. It's the biggest shopping search engine in Europe. Anybody that's over there will tell you, if you're looking to find products from European merchants, really don't have much of an alternative other than Kelku.
It's time for a brief summary of the news and trends, Rob.
Yeah, we were actually part of the news and trends on the web this week. A British newspaper, The Guardian, basically ran an article about the Audible revolution, and it was written by Ben Hammersley, who has been a guest on the show in the past. And he was talking about how online radio is transitioning over to being more of a portable type of a medium, and more people are downloading the show, like a lot of our listeners.
You can see that at www.guardian.co.uk, or just go to our website and click on it. We were also mentioned in an article on Clicks Today. That's at Clicks, clickz.com. An article by Sean Carton called The Next Generation RSS, Time-Shifted Streaming Media. That's something near and dear to our hearts. And he started the whole article out, Rob, by writing, "Driving to work the other day, I listened to the very fabulous Web Talk Guys radio show on my iPod." Wow, Sean.
Yeah, well, thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Well, it's safe to say there's a common theme between these articles, and it seems that time shifting and listening to radio programming on your mobile device or your pocket PC or whatever is becoming a hot item online. So I think we're going to see more of this, and the Web Talk Guys is probably going to benefit from this. And if you're listening to us on a mobile device, you're part of that hot trend.
This shows a lot about Google and search engines. Rob, you found something that was quite interesting about Google.
Yeah, I saw a couple of screenshots that have been circulating around the web about a new look for Google and some of the changes that they may be going to make to their design of their web page and how they present results. And one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to eliminate, it appears, the colored boxes behind some of their sponsored links. And I think part of the reason is that they want to make those look less like an ad and more like a search result, so they can hopefully increase their click-through ratio on those ads so they can make some more money. And the other item that they're looking at adding at this point is a more link off of their tabs at the top of the search bar. We're going to put up some links to some of those screenshots off of our front page, and you can check it out for yourself.
Google's also in the news because, people are mad right now at them. They have bought, as you probably know, Blogger.com and back last year, and now they are supporting, meaning Google, a new kind of sort of RSS type feed, but it's not RSS.
Yeah, basically what we're seeing here is a splintering of the whole syndication format that the RSS started. It's basically using the XML protocol out there to share content off of a URL link. And what Google is doing is they're creating their own kind of technology. So it's going to splinter the industry and go, so there's going to be two standards that people are going to have to support if you want to get content or if you want to be a content provider, RSS and this technology called Atom.
You've heard us talk about Orkut.com last few weeks, the social networking site.
And it's such a hot thing right now.
Well, you have a little bit of a warning you want to put out there, an allegation, that is.
Yeah, actually, I got a notice within the Orkut community about a email that's flying around, and it's from a company called the Word of Mouth Exchange. They're using a variety of URLs, but what they're doing is they're sending out emails trying to get people to sign up for this networking site. And what it is just a way for this site to get your email address so they can use it as a spam. So be real aware of getting any email from anybody that is related to Word of Mouth Exchange.
I'm a big fan of toolbars. I think we had a guest on once that was a big fan, but saying, what are we going to do? Pretty much have 15 toolbars on our browser.
Yeah, exactly.
Window.
It's going to take up the whole space and the whole browser view.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here's a solution. I'm so happy to hear about this. There's a new toolbar. It's from grow.com, and that's G-R-O-O-W-E. And what they do is they aggregate a bunch of different search engine toolbars into one.
So all you have is one up there. So you can actually have a whole list of all of the toolbars. I mean, every single one of them. And off of a click of a button, it just changes the toolbar. So you don't have to have 10 of them listed there. You can have them all and get access to all those search engines. And it actually is going to have an updatable area, too, that they can actually update the links and the content within this toolbar. So you get a lot more information.
Hey, I want to dig into our digital mailbag in the last few seconds that we have here. We heard from Daniel. He writes to say he links to us on his website, links to the show, loves it. His website's called Beyond Planet Earth Chronicles. It's a free sort of forum community for anyone interested in astronomy and space exploration. So if you are, go to our website, web.guys.com. You can see the URL right there. Thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, and we also got a whole flurry of emails from listeners after the two articles that we put up about the Orkut site last week. And some of them were about getting invited. And I don't know, I think, Dana, you got a bunch of invitations or requests for invitations, and I got a bunch of them too.
We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at rob@webtalkradio.com or dana@webtalkradio.com.
Support for Web Talk Every Week is provided by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. And Replay Radio offers a terrific way to record internet radio and turn your computer into a web radio VCR. So go check out replay-radio.com.
Also supported by InfoCreek.com. They're a low-cost website design firm. They've got great work, so go check out InfoCreek.com.
And we're also supported by Compass Communications at CCOM.net, and they are a Seattle-based colocation provider that is sitting on the backbone of the net to Asia. So go check out CCOM.net.
Don't go anywhere. Up next, we'll get into the world of website hosting and domain registration with the CEO of Web.com.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com, you got them naked chicks on there, man, you go click, 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 it's real easy, man.
future. The Web Talk Guys.
You can do it!
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and thank you for joining us and listening. I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is in here with me.
You know, it's quite possible that you're thinking about registering a domain name. May not be your first one, or you've decided to move your website to a new hosting company. Well, how do you evaluate who to go with? How do you choose what makes a good web host? TopHosts.com looks at the whole industry, and they put many of their hosting providers through a review panel, and they just came out with their top 25 web hosts. Joining us right now is the CEO of Web.com, and they're consistently near the top of that list.
Will Pimble knows a thing or two about the web hosting industry. Since 1996, his company, Web.com, has served more than 300,000 customers, providing domain names, email service, web hosting, and e-commerce solutions, and has consistently ranked among the top 20 domain name providers. Will, thank you for joining us on the show. It's great to have you on.
Oh, it's good to be here, Rob. Thanks.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about Web.com? I'm sure there are some folks out there that maybe haven't heard of you guys, but why don't you kind of give us a rundown of the history and what you guys do?
Sure. Well, Web.com began over 5 years ago as a domain name company. Specifically, we began offering 5 years ago what we call Web.com domain names, which are subdomains of the Web.com second-level domain. For example, if any amount of time ago you went to Network Solutions when even they were the only player in this game and tried to register Jewelry.com, the chances are that Jewelry.com was already taken. So we identified early on a need for good, short, easy-to-remember domain names that would work exactly the same way as any .com name.
Oh, okay.
Following that analogy, if you went and searched for jewelry.com and it was taken, the chances were that jewelry.web.com might still be available.
That's really great, because then it opens up the whole pool of domain names that a person could get access to if that .com that they were looking for wasn't available.
Yeah, so we essentially doubled the size of doubled the inventory that was out there for good, easy-to-remember domains, and what we discovered was that a lot of people were just about as happy with a .web.com name as they were with a .com name.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, very few people fully understood how the Internet works, and the .net top-level domain was useless to the average consumer. I mean, people understood .com, what do you do, I work for a .com, what's this, joebob.com, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So .web.com still brought with it the Internet feeling, if you will. And we began offering that service back in the late 90s as a free service, and very quickly registered well in excess of 100,000 .web.com domains.
Wow.
Using our system, and then we supported those through advertising. Today, we've since changed our business model over what it was at the beginning. We still offer the .web.com product, and it continues to be accepted pretty widely.
So now you guys are kind of doing more site hosting, those type of functionalities. Is that really your core business now, or is the core business still that piece that you were just talking about?
The .web.com name has become a subset of the whole that is web.com. We are, according to just about any web hosting review site, Top Hosts, webhostdirectory.com, those guys, we're one of the top 5 or top 10,
mm-hmm.
In some cases number 1 web hosting provider in the world. You know, we've got thousands and thousands of web hosting customers. We came about that business in response to requests from customers. Dear web.com, I just bought a domain name and now I sure would love a place to host it. And at the beginning, when we were, when we were just a few guys in a fourth bedroom somewhere, we were, for our offices, we would refer the business to other web hosting companies and in some cases get an affiliate fee, in some cases not get an affiliate fee. The main goal at web.com has always been service the customer. With that being our core value, when the customer would go off to some other web hosting company and get a web hosting account and come back to us for support because they knew us and we answered the phone and we were helpful, we found ourselves supporting web hosting customers that weren't our own. And because they owned a .web.com name or because they had registered any other domain, I mean, we're a registrar of just about all of the domains these days, we found ourselves supporting hosting customers of other companies and slowly came around to the realization that if we were going to be providing support to web hosting company customers on an ongoing basis, it probably made a lot of sense for us to be collecting the monthly web hosting fees rather than just the one-time affiliate fee, which was, you know, I mean, it was great and it was found revenue for us, but what we didn't count on was the fact that our customers love our support.
Yeah.
And if they're registered their name in Network Solutions, they'll call us for support. And if they're hosting at some other company, they'll call us for support. So we just started giving the customers what they continue to ask us.
Would you say that that's the primary reason that you guys have gotten the recognition that you guys have had here over the last year or so as far as being recognized as one of the leaders is a service piece? Would you say that's the primary reason, or is there other aspects of what you guys do that have made you one of the leaders in the industry?
I guess the best way to answer is to kind of give you a couple of quickie statistics. A year ago, or now going on 2 years ago, we could go into our database and identify which advertising source brought us which customers, and we could pin down about 80% of our customers to a specific advertising source, Google, MSN, wherever we happened to be advertising at the time. 8 out of 10 of our customers, we'd know exactly where they came from. We'd know exactly what it cost us to get them. And then 20%, we wouldn't know where they came from. And they just were word of mouth, or they happened to type web into their browser, and up we came. That number has flipped 180 degrees since just about 2 years ago. These days, we can identify about 20% of the customers we get through advertising. So we know that we ran an ad in Google and that customer clicked the ad and came through and bought hosting from us. And the 80% are coming from word of mouth. And so Web.com has begun to experience the oh-so-necessary viral growth that an internet company needs to experience in order to flourish. And the great news about that is there's no way but the honor system to come by that kind of growth.
Yeah, well, that's true. You got to have a reputation for being a good quality provider, I guess.
Yeah, and so we have at Web.com, there's a button on the desk of every manager at Web.com, which is the all hands on deck button. And if the wait times in the queue get beyond an acceptable level, everybody who has a phone on their desk at Web.com, which is everybody, is available to take customer support calls if things get out of hand, including myself. So we are we are just about manic about servicing the customer, because we know that there are a whole bunch of opportunities for people to find web hosting or a domain name. There are plenty of places to get that. What they can't get anywhere else are the people that make up the Web.com team.
Yeah. Well, now, what should a person look for when they're looking for a good, site host provider here? So is it service, or is it the actual bandwidth? Is it the kind of operating systems that you guys offer? What's the typical process that a customer goes through when they're selecting a host provider?
I think it's some of all of those things in combination. The first and most important quality of a web hosting company or any vendor of any kind is, what kind of service am I going to get after they have my money? That's the number one question. That's what anybody should be curious about when they're searching for a web hosting company, because the vast majority of people who are using a web hosting service are probably not degreed in computer science, or most people have other things to do with their lives besides understand the deep technology that the internet and web hosting involve. So services is the key factor. Second to that, I think, would be price. What's a great value? Web.com offers incredible values. We figured out early on that by automating our systems, we can provide customers with tremendous amounts of value at a very low cost to us. And what we do is we just pass that cost along to the customer. So while one of the big web hosting companies might be charging $30, $40, $50, $60, $90 or more a month for a web hosting plan that supports e-commerce and, say, streaming media, at Web.com you can come and get that plan that supports all of those things for as little as $7.95 a month.
I was also noticing you guys offer domain name registration for like $6.95 a year. Isn't that the lowest online? I haven't seen anybody any lower than $6.95.
It's just about the lowest online. I mean, there are probably, I think I read somewhere that there are as many as 60,000 domain name companies online. And of those 60,000 domain name companies, I'm not sure who sells domain names for the lowest price. I know that web.com is one of the 15 largest domain name registrars on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're up there with all of the big boys. We register tens of thousands of domains a month. Of the group that we pay attention to, those who we consider to be our competitors, we offer the most competitive price, we offer the best value, and we add value to each domain name also by providing customers with a completely free one-page website that they can use as sort of an online business card when they register a domain with us.
And that's great. Did the MyDoom virus have an impact on you guys over the last couple of weeks? You know, I've heard that a lot of the mail host providers out there have had to change their systems in order to accommodate that. Did you guys experience some issues with that, have you guys had to change your email system in order to fight off viruses like that?
Well, it definitely kept us focused over the last couple of weeks. There's been no shortage of things to do around here with the MyDoom hootenanny, which is not to say that it caused us a minute of downtime or anything unexpected. I mean, we expect viruses to occur. We expect attacks on our systems without going into details, which would give our opponents too much of an edge.
Sure, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, we take extraordinary and continuing measures all day, every day, to make sure that when the next virus or worm or whatever it is comes along, we've done every single thing that anybody or any company could do to guard against it. The trick in all of that, again, comes down to service and how well do you service your customer? How well do you communicate this threat to your customers? Because a virus can pass through a mail server without ever affecting the mail server and end up on somebody's desktop computer, at which point somebody opens that file, mm-hmm. and then out goes the virus to propagate itself. So again, it's about notifying customers, it's about keeping them aware, it's about having systems that trap suspect pieces of email on their way through our network, all of which we work real, real hard to do.
This past week, you guys had an announcement of a new partnership. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. That's Name Intelligence.
Name Intelligence, yeah.
Yeah, Name Intelligence is, spell it like it sounds. Name Intelligence is a company located in Seattle, Washington.
They're in Seattle. I didn't realize that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's actually where we're located.
Yeah, great town. I was there earlier this week. But Name Intelligence collects and parses and sorts and understands super deep information, super deep data about how the domain name business and landscape functions on an all-day, everyday basis. A couple of websites that Name Intelligence runs is whois.sc or whois.source, which is like one of the 600 busiest websites on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go to whois.source to look up a domain name and see if it's available and see what alternatives and see what other people might be searching on similar names. There's a tremendous amount of data there. Name Intelligence also knows what the ranks of all domain name registrars are on a daily basis.
Well, now, what's the partnership going to entail? Are you guys going to offer your hosting services on their sites, and then you're going to offer the lookup processes on your site?
We, along with several of the 10 biggest registrars on the planet, use Name Intelligence services in one form or another to power lookups, for statistics, for data mining. Again, Name Intelligence, any company who is serious about being in the domain name business partners with Name Intelligence at some level. So we use Name Intelligence to power our lookups. And so if you go to web.com and you type in webtalk.com and you click search, the results you will see are powered by Name Intelligence. The alternative names that are suggested on our website are powered by those guys. And so we use them to do a very specific, very focused, but very, very important piece of work that the web.com site does. And that's all Name Intelligence does. I mean, they just focus on that very small piece of the business. Name Intelligence noticed about us as we became a bigger and bigger customer of theirs is they noticed going through our systems that a fair number of .web.com domains were being registered by our systems. And Name Intelligence found that they were not tracking .web.com names as its own top-level domain.
Okay.
Like .com, .net, .org, .biz, .info.
Sure.
And Name Intelligence saw the need to provide that data both to the public and to its other clients because the .web.com domains have begun to really catch on as a super viable alternative. We convert without providing too much by way of specifics. We convert as a percentage of the .com names we register, which are still the majority of the names everybody registers.
Mm-hmm.
.web.com names perform as well as .biz, as well as .info, in some cases better. So Name Intelligence and Web.com have worked together so that we can provide, through other sources than Web.com, the Name Intelligence family of websites, and any registrars or Web.com resellers that wanted access to the information can now have access to .web.com availability, the availability of .web.com names through Name Intelligence websites, Name Intelligence name spinner applications, and other applications that they build for use by their customers.
Yeah, so is the whole domain name market growing? I mean, what are you guys seeing as far as new registrations? I mean, is that area still growing real fast, or are there still domains that are kind of being dropped because people aren't using them? What are you seeing?
Beginning of, say 2001, 2002, things began to drop off a little bit. Fewer people were renewing domains, fewer mm-hmm. people were registering new domains, and this was kind of part and parcel of the burst of the bubble. So as a whole, there was sort of a lull, but the domain name business is alive and well. People are registering, I forget, but tens of thousands of domains a day are being registered by different people all over the planet. Business continues to grow. New businesses pop up every single day. Somebody has an idea for a business every single day. The internet is a key piece of any new business anymore. So if you have a business, you need a website. At very least, you need just sort of a catalog website or email or one of those things. And in most cases, you need some sort of e-commerce presence. And all of that sits on top of your domain name. There's no shortage of activity or potential customers in the space.
Yeah, I think that there's like 37 million domain names or something like that that are currently registered.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I would think that the database is starting to run out of what would be probably usable domain names as far as regular top-level ones, and I guess that's where your subdomain here of web.com comes into play.
Yeah, 90, I forget what the current stat is. It changes all the time, but somewhere in excess of 95% of all the words in the English dictionary are already registered as .web, forgive me, as .com names. On the flip side, something in the neighborhood or more than 95% of the words in the English dictionary are not registered or are available as .web.com. And so there's tremendous opportunity for both web.com and its customers.
Will, it was great having you on the show.
Well, thanks, Rob. I'm grateful for your time.
Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us and talking about web.com. You guys are doing a terrific job over there. And
good deal. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks, Will.
We've been talking with Will Pimble. He's the CEO of web.com. The Tech Talk is nowhere near finished. In two shakes, we'll be talking with Chris Sherman, associate editor of SearchEngineWatch.com, about the just-announced winners of the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
I'm interested in upgrading my 28.8 kilobaud internet connection to a 1.5 megabit fiber optic T1 line. Will you be able to provide an IP router that's compatible with my token ring Ethernet LAN configuration?
Can I have some money now?
You're back with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and thanks for joining us and listening. I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is here with me.
The most popular type of website is the search engine. Isn't that right, Rob?
Yes, that's what I would agree.
If you're into being seen on the web in the myriad of search engines that are out there, then you're probably aware of searchenginewatch.com. They provide tips and info about searching the web. They analyze the industry, and they help site owners improve their abilities to be found on the search engines.
Search Engine Watch has just announced the winners of their 4th annual Search Engine Watch Awards, and Chris Sherman is with us today, and he's the associate editor of searchenginewatch.com and president of searchwise.net, a web consultancy, and he's also the author of The Invisible Web, Uncovering Information Sources Search Engines Can't See, and a contributor to online magazine eContent and Information Today. Chris, it's great to have you on the show.
Pleasure, Up.
We met down in San Jose last summer at one of you guys' Search Engine Strategies conferences, and those events are getting really popular for you guys with growing attendance and everything. What are you seeing happening with why those things are so hot now?
Well, we're really pleased with the growth that we've seen in the conferences. We started out about 5 years ago. Actually, 5 years ago, it was Danny who basically ran it by himself. And over the course of those years, we've added, additional days, we've added new tracks and panels. We're seeing, I think, a trend now away from our original audience, which were primarily mom-and-pop small webmasters trying to claw their way to the top of the algorithmic search engine using what's called search engine optimization techniques. Increasingly, we're seeing more and more online retailers. I hesitate to use the word more sophisticated, but it may be slightly larger businesses becoming increasingly interested in this whole concept that's now called search engine marketing rather than search engine optimization. I think that because the way people use search engines, they're in a sort of active, I'm searching for possibly a product or service.
Yeah.
And so that behavior is very well suited to targeting people to actually get them to buy products and services. So that's the trend that we're seeing, and it's going definitely from the small sort of sites to increasingly the more mainstream, and hopefully we're even seeing more of the larger Fortune 1000 or Global 1000 companies getting interested in this space as well.
Well, and as a matter of fact, Chris, as you were kind of mentioning too, the landscape has really changed with search engines. I mean, there was a few, then there's many, and then they got all eaten up by the bigger fish and a few, and just keeping up on that is a full-time job, and you guys provide an invaluable service. Why don't you talk just a second about your site and also Search Engine Watch and what the difference is between those two?
Sure. Well, Search Engine Watch is a site that was founded by Danny Sullivan back in the mid-90s just to sort of keep tabs on what was going on with the search engine. And Danny basically got so busy that he asked me to come on to do a daily newsletter, which is called Search Day. It's a part of the searchenginewatch.com site. The way that we tend to divide up our responsibilities is that Danny likes to focus more on the sort of webmaster or marketing types of issues that are associated with search engines. And he writes two newsletters. He writes long, kind of deep looks at the technology. One is free, comes out monthly, called Search Engine Report. And the other is a subscriber-oriented newsletter that comes out twice a month. That's called the Search Engine Update. And with that, Danny really tries to go into depth and provide very detailed analyses of the technology and the marketing techniques and so on. Search Day, by contrast, I tend to focus more on breaking news. I focus on issues of interest to people who are actually searching the web rather than people who are trying to have their websites found.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a hard and fast sort of delineation in terms of how we handle it, but essentially that's the way we look at our different responsibilities.
And you guys just came out with your new award winners for the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards. Why don't you kind of run through some of those with us a little bit, and what categories are you guys actually running with those awards now?
Sure. We have about 10 categories that we actually look at, and what we do is open up a sort of open balloting process to our subscribers and say, here are some of the people that we think are deserving of an award this year. What do you think? We keep that open for a very, very short period of time. Then we take that information and come up with the awards for a particular category based on both that popular vote and our own observations of what we've seen during the course of the year. The big award is the Outstanding Search Service. This is sort of the overall, what company did the best job with all of the different aspects of the search engine. That includes not just returning good search results, but some of the other things like being webmaster friendly or having interesting tools and features, a toolbar, for example, or a specialized type of search that they're able to do. And for the past 3 years in a row now, it's probably no surprise to your listeners, Google has taken that award.
Mm-hmm.
We had an interesting time with it this year, though, because a number of the other search engines in the past year have really shown dramatic improvement,
mm-hmm.
and we really wanted to give them credit in terms of making those strides and point out to people that, yes, Google is still really good, but there are other good alternatives. I think Google became popular largely because it was so much better than the other services back in the 20th century, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen really, really good strides by our second-place winners in that category were AllTheWeb and Yahoo,
mm-hmm.
both just excellent tools in terms of being just as good of and in some cases better than Google.
Well, those two, AllTheWeb and Yahoo, have gone through a metamorphosis. AllTheWeb did a remake of their front page, which is very nice looking. But, of course, then they got acquired. And then
sure.
Yahoo's gone through, you know, this invisible tab and this other new look. So would you say that they got better this year than they were, say, last year?
Absolutely. Both services did. AllTheWeb, mm-hmm. of course, now is actually owned by Overture, which is also a subsidiary now this year of Yahoo.
Yahoo, yeah.
So we have some uncertainty there in terms of, you know, what is AllTheWeb's future? We had talked to the new owners back in September. They said that their intention was to combine AllTheWeb with another search engine that they had bought. That's kind of a name from the past year, AltaVista. And we were very excited at that point because the technologies that those two search engines have to offer when combined could be a real powerhouse. I mean, very, very definitely comparable to
mm-hmm.
Google.
It certainly seems like that the Yahoo brand is stronger, but the AllTheWeb site is actually better as far as a search site. I mean, Yahoo's had most of its history is known as a directory site. You know, it is a little bit of a confounding issue what they're going to do there. I mean, certainly alltheweb.com is a terrific domain name for a search function.
That's right.
But Yahoo's directory, where do you see them sorting that out, and just, or is it all just going to go to Yahoo?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. We're not getting clear signals from Yahoo yet in terms of what their plans are.
Yeah.
Yahoo, of course, also bought another. They now own three of these so-called crawler-based technologies,
mm-hmm.
of AltaVista, and they also have one called Inktomi, which is kind of a OEM provider, if you will. And Yahoo, for the past 3 years or so, 4 years, has been using Google search results,
yeah.
ironically enough, on its own site. And
Yahoo's had a lot of selection of technologies, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have.
Yeah.
Yahoo intends to replace Google with its Inktomi search engine. Again, Yahoo, across the board, has implemented its shopping search, for example, right now. It's just fantastic. We gave that mm-hmm. the winner in the best shopping search category this year.
What's mm-hmm. so great about that particular version of shopping?
Well, they've expanded it. Yahoo shopping originally was you had to basically be a merchant selling on Yahoo's site. And what they've done now is basically lowered those gated walls, and they're using that Inktomi technology to go out and find products and services on the entire web in addition to what the Yahoo merchants have to offer. They've
mm-hmm.
also really beefed it up with a lot of, you know, a lot of times people think shopping is just going out and finding the best price. Well, there's a lot more to it. If you're at the beginning stages of researching a product, you know, you want to see reviews. You might want to see what other people who have bought the product have to say about it. Might want to see store reviews, that kind of thing. Well, Yahoo has brought in a lot of these kinds of research tools into the Yahoo shopping experience.
Mm-hmm.
Really high quality stuff, things like reviews from Consumer Reports, for example. So you really get a very complete shopping experience, if you will, with the Yahoo shopping portal now.
Let's talk about the shopping section of the best shopping site. You have some other ones that are mentioned in second place and the honorable mention. I actually haven't heard of one of those in the honorable mention. Why don't you just run down so we get the whole scope of really good shopping sites?
Sure. Well, the second place winners were Frugal, which is Google's effort at shopping, and Shopping.com, which was formerly known as DealTime. Frugal at this point is really just focused on trying to find you the best price.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not as useful if you're just you don't really know what you're looking for and you're in the research phase, which is part of the reason that we gave it the second place. Shopping.com is by far, I think, the most popular
mm-hmm.
of the shopping sites. It's the one that has the best recognition among people. They bought ePinion's website of consumer reviews. In our honorable mention categories, we have one that's probably not familiar to most people in North America. It's called Kelku. It's the biggest shopping search engine in Europe.
Oh.
And anybody that's over there will tell you, if you're looking to find products from European merchants, you really don't have much of an alternative. other than Kelku.
We've been having a chat with Chris Sherman, associate editor of SearchEngineWatch.com, about the just-announced winners of the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards. More in a moment. This is Web Talk Radio. What a gift
there below. Hey, radio lovers. You can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast-forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
This is Web Talk Radio, and thank you for joining us and listening. I'm Rob Greenlee, along with Dana Greenlee, and we're back on the phone with Chris Sherman, who is the associate editor of SearchEngineWatch.com, and he's talking to us about the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards. Google won the award for its best design site, and they basically set the standard for how search engines have been designed for the last few years, and it seems like everybody has really copied what they've done.
Right.
Is Google doing something new here, or is this something that just kind of continues because they're kind of the leader in that area?
No, they really aren't doing anything new. I think, you know, they were the ones, as you pointed out, that really pioneered this concept of very simple, sparse, but easy-to-use design, not mm-hmm. cluttered up with all kinds of, you know, gewgaws and ads and so on. So I think that's why they continue to remain popular in that category.
But now, and we are not only just talking about the entry point to Google, but the pages, interior pages, the search results, correct?
That's right.
You know, there's been a little, I guess, controversy or changing around of where those ads, those paid placements are appearing. Are they at the top or at the right side? And what's your viewpoint, Chris, a little bit on, you know, once you are in search results, you know, is that really still Google is the best? And in those paid placements, are they kind of a little bit distracting?
Well, those are both really good questions. Is Google the best? I think Google is still a very, very strong search engine. But over the past year, they've been making some tweaks to their, you know, underlying processes. And quite frankly, they've disappointed me in a number of cases mm-hmm. over the past year in surprising ways, in ways that, you know, I'm really somewhat shocked almost that Google has not found what I've been looking for. Yeah, I think the opposite side of that is that the other search engines that we mentioned, the All the Webs, the Tailmans, and so on, have improved to the point where they, you know, really are, I think, comparable to Google. In terms of the advertising, Google has always been very straightforward about their ads. They've always labeled them as sponsored links, mm-hmm. which, you know, a lot of the other search engines did not do.
Yeah.
They got rid of their so-called premium ads at the top of the page when they moved everything to what their current program is now, and those all are displayed down the right side of the search results. I personally find them useful when I'm looking for a product or service. But I think even still, even though they're clearly labeled as sponsored listings, not all people are aware that these really are ads. They're not search results at all. And in fact, in some cases, it can be a little bit disconcerting. If you do a search on something very serious, you know, say a topic like cancer, and you're maybe a patient or a family member looking for, you know, authoritative information, mm-hmm. some of the ads that are out there are for basically non-sanctioned experimental types of therapies that it's a little bit on the borderline there of, you know, well, yes, it is an ad and it's clearly labeled as such, but, you know, you just hope that people, when they see that, recognize it for what mm-hmm. it is.
You know, with Google kind of identifying these things separately as sponsored links and they have different colors and all those kind of things, that people are starting to do the whole banner ad blindness thing going on with those things too, and that there may be a gradual erosion of how effective those text links are on those pages. So are you seeing any feedback from readers or whatever that are giving you that kind of feedback as well?
It's going to be different than the kind of reaction that we had to the banner ads, because the banner ads were graphic. They quite often used flashing colors. You know, mm-hmm. they were there to disrupt us and interrupt us.
Yeah.
The difference with the search ads, you know, again, when people are searching, they're in that I'm hunting or I'm looking for information. Mm-hmm. kind of mode. And, you know, in the case where people are looking to buy something, I think the ads are actually, in many cases, quite good. They'll oftentimes mm-hmm. be better than the search results. You say if you're doing a search for running shoes, you're really more interested in finding a retailer that can sell them to you rather than a PDF research paper written by some academic
about
the topic.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be as much of the blindness to those types of ads, at least on the search engine sites themselves. Google and Overture, both of the big players in the category, are also having now what they call contextual ads, which are similar to the search engine ads, but they get served out to partner websites.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, CBSMarketWatch.com will carry these ads that are from Google. And in those cases where people aren't in the active search mode but more in the passive or more passive read mode, then I think there's a chance that they won't be quite as effective.
Chris, now that we're looking again at the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards, and we've covered the outstanding and a little bit on the shopping and kind of touched on this paid placement, but you have about a dozen categories, and I don't want to miss anyone that you particularly want to draw some attention to. So first question is, what did you find interesting? Which category and winner did you find most interesting? And are there any losers, i.e. Maybe some search engines that we've heard of that aren't on the list, and why?
Well, there weren't really any surprises. I guess there was actually one. We gave a winning award in the Best Search Toolbar to a toolbar called Groove, G-R-O-O-W-E. And that's definitely not a household name. It's a name that we frankly didn't even know about until the author of the toolbar brought it to our attention. But it's a really, really useful toolbar that basically lets you search all the different search engines from a single place. So it kind of consolidates all of the toolbars that the other companies are offering. So that was a pleasant surprise. In terms of who wasn't there, I don't think many surprises there. A lot of these companies that we knew about back in the late 90s have just basically disappeared. So we're down to just a handful or so that are clearly the leaders, and I think they're all reasonably well represented here.
One that seems like is really glaringly gone is the AltaVista site, which used to be, I'm sure, right up there in everybody's rankings as a significant search engine. What has happened to AltaVista?
Well, AltaVista basically, I think, lost its focus, and they admitted as much. You know, they tried to transform themselves into a portal with email and news and chat, all these other kinds of things. And while they were doing that, they really lost their focus on search. That, I think, was one of the major opportunities that Google seized on to become as popular as it is. AltaVista over the years has had a renewed focus on search, and up until last year, you know, they were doing a pretty good job. They never really quite came up to what they said. Last year that all changed, and we were really getting excited about them again.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I mentioned when we visited with them in September,
mm-hmm.
with this whole planned integration with all the web, that would have just been fantastic, and I think had that gone through, there would have been a good chance that AltaVista would have been back on our award winners list. But right now, until Yahoo decides what they want to do with the AltaVista site, it's still really pretty much a second-tier player. I mean, it's fantastic. It's, I think, probably the best for advanced search. You know, if you really want to get in there and tweak your query and use Boolean logic and all of that kind of thing, AltaVista is still clearly superior. But for the general, you know, two- or three-word type of quick sorts of questions that most people have these days, it's just not up to snuff. And hopefully that'll change.
Yeah, it's certainly sad to a certain extent that Yahoo has bought all of these search sites because I think what's going to happen is they're all going to get kind of squashed. I think Yahoo bought them from a competitive standpoint so they could, number one, get the technology, but also keep the competition under control. But it's going to definitely limit the amount of choices that we all have.
The other thing is that, you know, a lot of these sites still generate a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Yahoo may just choose to let them continue to operate on their own and maybe bring them up, you know, quality-wise to a level where they sustain the traffic that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have Microsoft getting into the game. I think it's probably going to be a classic case of Microsoft having to try a few times before they, you know, actually get it right. But,
you bet.
Chris, give out the best place people can go and see the whole list and maybe even comments from those that voted and such.
Sure. Well, if you go to the searchenginewatch.com website, it's basically right there on the home page. There's a link to the 4th Annual Search Engine Watch Awards.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
It was great speaking with you.
Vice versa.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
We've been talking with Chris Sherman. He's president of SearchWise.net and associate editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. This wraps up Web Talk Radio for another week. But we don't want you to stop listening with this show. Check out 5 years worth of good content. We just celebrated our 5th anniversary of this show. And you go to webtalkradio.com, click on the archives. You've got a lot of content there. We're honored to be part of your lives, and we'll work hard to bring you great conversations from leaders and analysts from the internet world.
See you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.